Begin the current daf, Masechta Babas, or daf Yud Ches. Begin on the bottom line of daf Yud Zayin Mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, we had in the opening halacha of this perek Liachper, the Mishnah spoke about the halacha regarding doing something in your property that could cause damage to your neighbor's item in his property, whether it be his wall or his pit. So on that, the Gemara had a machlekes Abaye and Rava, and there were actually two versions in that machlekes regarding this Isser, this prohibition of building, making a pit, let's say, by the edge of the boundary because it's going to affect the other person's pit in his boundary, so you have to go within three tefachim into your own property, is that only when there's already a pit there or even when there is no pit over there? That is, Abaye says you could be saimich. If there's no pit over there, then you could put it at the edge of the property. It's only when there is a pit that you cannot. And Rava says, no, even if there's no pit, you cannot. Now, there was actually two different versions regarding their machlekes. Was their machlekes regarding a case when it's a sada that's a suya, lasis baris, that it's made to make pits? Or was actually the machlekes only by sada she'in a suya, lasis baris? When it's not usually made pits. So that's what Abaye said, that okay, so there you could go ahead and put it by the edge, because people don't usually make, and even there Rav would hold that no, even though it's a field that's not usually made for pits, you're not allowed to put the edge of the field, because that guy could also decide one day to go ahead and make a pit, and therefore the halachas of our Mishnah apply in all situations. You have to have a distance away. Now, actually, Rav and Abaye didn't discuss the halacha of the Mishnah. They just mentioned regarding this halacha that you're not allowed to make it at the edge, even if there is no pit there at this moment. So that's what the Gemara asks many different questions on Rava, starting off the halachas of our Mishnah. Toshima, we learned in our Mishnah, machikin es agefes, that you have to have the olive refuse, or ves hazevel, or animal manure, or ves hazukitir on top of your tchesam and olive hamelech, salt, or ves hasid, or lime, ves haslam, or these flint rocks. You have to distance all these things, which all these things induce heat. You have to distance them from your friend's wall. You have to keep it a distance of three tefachim. So though you have this stuff in your property, but since it's going to damage your neighbor, you have to distance it for three tefachim. Or at least if you plaster it with lime so it's not going to harm the wall, that also is sufficient. But one thing the Gemara asks on Rav is, time adika kaisel. It sounds like the only reason why it's forbidden to keep your stuff over there at the edge of the property unless you move it by three tefachim is because the neighbor has a wall and it's going to harm the wall. But it sounds like, but if there is no wall, then you could have it near there, even though, as Taisa explains, it is going to cause some type of a damage for the person in the future when he wants to make that wall. Now, it's not like Rava, who said if there's no wall, who said even if there is no element that is going to harm there right now, you're not allowed to have it there either. Says the Gemara, no. Kileka Kaisel Namele Samech. Truth is, Rava would tell you that even if there's no wall, you're not allowed to have it. You're not allowed to have your Gefes or your Zevel or your Melech. You can't have it more than three tefachim close to the wall. Now, so then what's the Mishnah teaching us when it's saying that you have to keep it three tefachim from the wall, it's even if there is no wall? But that's exactly what the Mishnah is teaching us. It's teaching us this concept that these items are harmful for the wall. That's why we mentioned that you have to keep it from the wall, or else we would know that the halacha applies, that you're not allowed to keep it within three tefachim, but we wouldn't know the reasoning and the rationale if we'd find ramifications for understanding what the damage is. The Mishnah said from the wall to tell you that the reason why you have to keep it three tefachim away is because it's detrimental for the wall, but really the reality of the halacha would be even if there is no wall right there at this point either. So the Gemara continues asking the similar type of questions on Rava from our Mishnah. Toshima, Mishnah said another halacha. You have to distance seeds, vesa machresha, and plowing, vesa miraglime, and urine, min ha-kaisel shleisa tvachim, three tvachim from the wall. Now, the question is, time of the kaisel, sounds like the halacha of the Mishnah, is because there is a wall right now. Haleka kaisel samach, sounds like if there is no wall, then you could do these things. You could put urine at the end of your boundary if there's no wall right now, which is not like Rav, who said you cannot do these things as if he had a wall right now, even if there isn't one right now. Says the Gemara, no. Truth is, even if there is no wall, you wouldn't be able to put these things, seeds or plowing, at the edge of the property. And then why does the Mishnah teach us that you have to keep it a distance of his wall? It's Hakamash Malon that's coming to teach us this idea, de musunta, that moisture is kashal kaisel, is harmful for the wall. According to this version of the Gemara, it's that the seeds, plowing, and the urine, all these things are things related to moisture, which it's going to cause damage. You're right, it would be even without the wall there. But it's teaching you that to know for halacha that these things are harmful to the wall. Toshima, another question to Rav from our Mishnah. Said Ve'esarichayim regarding the mill, gimel min ha-shechev, it has to be three tefachim from the shechev part. Shehein dal min arechev, which that's the bottom part, which is also four tefachim from the higher part, which is a tefach narrower than the outer part, essentially the same distance from the wall. So again, time of the kakosel, sounds like from the halacha of the Mishnah, because there is a wall. Halacha kakosel samach, but if there was no wall, then you would be allowed to have your mill all the way to the end of the property. Says the Gemara, no. Even if there would be no wall, you wouldn't be allowed to have it at the edge, as Rava holds. So what's it teaching us when it's saying you have to keep it three tefachim from the wall? It's teaching us this concept, the tiryu kashla kaisel, that shaking, things that shake like a mill which makes these reverberations, are harmful for the wall. But you're right, that halach of not putting it there would be even if he doesn't have a wall there right now. Another question, Toshima. We learned in the Mishnah that said, Vesatana, regarding an oven, Shleisha min akalya, it's got to be three tefachim from the kalya part, which is the lower part of the base of the tanur, Shindal min asafa, which is four tefachim from the upper edge of that base. Now, taimedeka kaisel, sounds like, again, because there's a wall, haleka kaisel samach, but if there would be no wall, then you would be allowed to have the oven there. Says the Gemara, lo no ki leka kaisel namele samach. Truth is, even if there would be no wall, you wouldn't be allowed to have it near. So then what's it teaching us when it says you have to have a three tefachim from the wall? Even if there would be no wall, you wouldn't be allowed to have it there. This is what it's teaching us, to have lakash lakaisla. It's telling us this concept that heat, which is being generated by the oven, is detrimental and harmful for the wall. And that's the rationale, that's the reasoning for the halacha. But yes, the halacha would be even without a wall there. Tashima. Again, the Gemara continues to ask on Rava now from the coming Mishnah. The next Mishnah says a halacha that lo yiftach odem chanush shel nachtoim. The person not allowed to open up a store of bakers, meaning of those who sell bread, where they constantly the ovens are firing at all times there in that store, or vishal tzavoin, or from people that they're dyers, where the ovens, the heat is always being, they're dyeing the dye, which they always have fires going. You're not allowed to open up those type of stores. Tachas etzor shel chaveri. Where if the second story is his friend who has a storehouse there of grain and oil and wine, where smoke is detrimental for these elements, and you're going to open up downstairs a store that constantly has smoke, you're not allowed to open that up because it's detrimental. And so to below Refes Bakr, neither are you allowed to open up and have an animal, a cattle barn on the first floor where that odor is detrimental for all the grain and the oil and the wine on the second story. That's the halacha of the Mishnah on the next Mishnah. So as the Gemara, it sounds like Taimedika Eitzer is only because the second story guy has a storehouse at that time. Haleko Eitzer of it. It sounds like, but if there would be no storehouse, then you would be allowed to do it, which is not like Rava. Now, Tais actually points out that the Gemara could have answered the same as it has been answering up until now. No, the truth is, even if there would be no Eitzer, you wouldn't be allowed to. But it's teaching us the concept of the rationale, which is that the heat of these items are harmful for an Eitzer. But the Gemara gives a different answer. The Gemara says that actually, Dirashani, because that's the truth, that regarding a store or a cattle barn, these things are in a person's dwelling. As the case is talking about, he took out the first story of the building. Now, since it's his dira, it's his apartment, we don't have to make a person's apartment forbidden unless it's something that's a prepared and direct type of damage. Meaning, regarding the halachas of our Mishnah, which are just items, a pit or olive refuse, all these things. So that are things that we say, according to Rava, even if the other person doesn't have the thing that would be harming, you already now not allowed to put it over there, because he might ultimately do it. But here, we're talking about someone's apartment, although yes, if he's in his apartment, he also has a bakery, and it would be harmful for the guy on the second floor. If he has the eitzer, then he can't. But to say that he can't do it because he might, or because in the future, that we don't make forbidden, even according to Rava, regarding a person's apartment. And the Gemara says, Dekanami. Actually, a precise reading of that halacha in the coming Mishnah indicates that it's because it's a dira that it's a different halacha. Because the Tanei Allah, we learned in the Braisa, going on that Mishnah, that says that imhaisa refes bakr kedemis laitzer, but if the cattle barn was before the person on the second story made a storehouse, then mutter, then it's permitted. And it's not just the refes bakr, it's the cases that are all like the refes bakr, like the halachas in that Mishnah over there. So what we see is that regarding all the halachas of our Mishnah, no one ever taught us that halacha that, oh, if it came first, then we don't have a brice that says that halacha, then it's going to be mutter. Obviously, it's only over there that it's going to be mutter. Why? Because it's a dira, it's an apartment. But those of our Mishnah, even if he's the first one doing it, then still he would have to create that distance exactly like Rava. There, yes, Refes Bakr, the Tanoim tell us clearly that if it's first, then it's permitted because that's a dira. That's different than the halachas of our Mishnah. The Gemara continues asking Tashima from a Mishnah Daf Chavav Min Aleph. The Mishnah says, Layita Adam Ilan Samach Lasad. The person is not allowed to plant a tree right next to his friend's field. Elam Kein Hirchig Mimin Adal Ramas, unless he makes a distance of 4 amas from his neighbor's field. As the Gemara explains, because with Tanei Allah, we learn the Braisa on that halacha that says, Dalad Amash Amru, why did we say that you need to have a distance of 4 amas? Is Kidei Avodas HaKerem, is to give the area of working on the vineyard, and that is because when they would plow the vineyard with plows, and also at the time when they would go and gather the grapes, they would come with wagons. So you need to have an area that's open of 4 amas so that the guy's wagons should not go with his plow into his neighbor's field. So when you're making your tree, you have your fruits, you have your grape, you're not allowed to have it near the other person's field, dalet amos, because you need that area dalet amos so that when you're going around with your wagons, it shouldn't harm that person's field. Says the Gemara, time of the mishum kedi avodas hakerem. So that sounds like that because that the guy who's now making the tree is going to have going around working his vineyard, and then his wagon's going to damage the other person's field in a direct way. That's why you got to distance it by dalet amos. Halav mishum kedi avodas hakerem, but it sounds like if not for the fact that people go around with wagons when they're plowing or when they're picking the grapes, that it wasn't going to damage the other person's field, that's samach. It sounds like then you would be allowed to make the tree right next to the other person's field. V'avagav di'ika shirashin, and that's in spite of the fact that there are roots that will spread out from beneath the ground and go into the other person's field, and the kumaski. And that's going to harm the other person's field, whether because it's going to get in the way of his plowing, because this guy's roots are going to come to this guy's field, or because when this guy's going to want to dig a pit, the roots are going to come in from the tree, from the neighbor, and damage his pit. But either way, we see that that's not a problem, even though, according to Rava, he holds things are such a problem that even if the other person doesn't even have anything yet, you're not allowed to do something that would cause damage. For sure, and this is where it gets in the discussion, which we'll explain at the end, that there's a big machlokes. Rashi and Tosis have explained in this machlokes Ambai and Rava how to understand their respective opinions. But what we see is that, as we explained the previous stuff regarding machlokes Rabbis and the Rabbanan, where it's, even here, where it's going into the other person's field, and it's going to cause damage, still we see that halacha would allow it. Definitely not like Rava, who says you can't even do something that preventative that even before anyone has anything, still Rava says you can't do it near. That's how many precautions you have to take. So for sure, this halacha of that mission is not like Rava, which says that not only could you do it near it, you could even do it near it where it's going to actually ultimately cause damage if you're not doing direct damage. So that thing Rava says, no, halacha ma'iskinam. Here what we're talking about is the mafsig tsunma. We're talking about where the ground is hard like a rock, where that's what separates between the two properties. And therefore, the guy who's planting his tree over there, the roots are not going to go into the other person's field. So yes, if not for the fact of Avodas HaKerem that the wagon would go on the surface of the ground onto the other person's field, then actually would be permitted. Why? Rava says you can't do anything that even remotely would cause damage to the other person's field, even if it doesn't have anything Rava holds. Yeah, because here the roots are not going to go into his field because there's a rock, solid rock that would not allow the roots to go into the other person's field. And the Gemara says, Dekanami Diktani. Actually, precise reading of that Mishnah indicates it because the Mishnah says over there that let's say Hayigedra Bein Time. Let's say there was a fence between the two properties where now there's no more concern about the guy who has the vineyard next to the other guy's field that he's going to damage it with his wagon going around to do the work and the plowing of the vineyard because there's a gate over there. They're not going to take their wagons into his property. Says the Mishnah, this guy can make his tree near Leged Mikan, right next to the fence on this side. V'zesamich Leged Mikan, and this guy can make his field right there on the other side of that fence. And even if, let's say, on one side is a vineyard and the other side is a field of grain, there's no problem about the halachas of climbers. The Gemara says in Sechdes Erev and Dafyud Alef and Aleph, if there's grapes on one side, then you're allowed to plant on the other side of the wall right there, you're allowed to plant seeds of grain, because the Gemara even goes to that extent that even if you put in 4 poles and on top of it you just make, you take a vine and just make like a door frame, even that would be considered a gether, a separation that wouldn't be a problem by klaim. But one thing that we see from this from the halacha, the Mishnah, is that it's saying you're allowed to make the tree, if as long as you have a fence, separating you let him make the tree on one side, and the guy could plant his grain right there on the other side, even though the roots are going to go right under the fence. The fence is just above ground. The roots are going to go under, and it's going to go into the other person's field. So that's a problem. That's what the Gemara is proving, that obviously, that no, the reason it's not a problem is because there's tsunma. And since it's tsunma, there's this hard, solid rock on the ground, the roots are not going to go into the other person's field, and that's why there's no problem. But climb, that's no problem about anything. There's no problem about harming the other person, because no avodah zakarim, there's no problem about the roots going in. And again, that's why it's not difficult on Rava, because you're right. If the roots would go, then it would be problematic, and then the person would not be allowed to plant his tree on the other side. Now, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, but if you're telling me that the Mishnah there is speaking about that this tsunma, this hard rock that separates between the two properties, same as Seifa, but look at the end of the Mishnah over there. It says, if the roots from the guy's tree was going into the other person's property, then my miklahem, then the owner of the field could go and cut off the roots that are coming into his field, shleisha tfachim. If they're within three tfachim from the top of the ground as he's digging down, a three tfachim depth, he's allowed to cut them off. Kedei shlei akav hamachresha, that it shouldn't get in the way of his plowing, because this guy's tree's roots are coming in the way. So although it's going to be harming the guy's tree when he's cutting the roots, but he's saying, I'm not going to be able to plow, he's allowed to cut off the roots up until a depth of three tfachim. Now that asks the Gemara, v'idah mafsik tsunma, but if you're telling me that the tree on one side and the guy's field on the other side, that there's a hard rock separating them, and that's why it's not difficult on Rava, why you're allowed to plant the tree even though the roots are going to go in as long as you're four amas away or right next to if there's a geder, but then my boy Hassan, then how do you understand the case? What are the roots doing there within three tefachim of the guy's top of his soil if the roots can't even come into the other guy's field? They can't even penetrate because it's rock. So now the Gemara says, no, what the end of the Mishnah was saying was, v'ilav tzunma. It was saying, the first part was saying that there is tzunma. And then it's saying, if there is no hard rock, and meaning the one who planted the tree did it unlawfully, because as we're saying, you're not allowed to plant according to Rava, that it would go into other person's field. Because again, Rava holds you're not even plant, even if the guy doesn't even have anything yet there, even if it remotely would possibly cause damage. So the Mishnah is saying, but if there is no tzunma, and the guy planted inappropriately, and the roots were going into the other person's field, then you're allowed to dig to a depth 3 tefachim to rip out that guy's roots, that it shouldn't get in the way of the plowing. But you're right, the Reish was told about that there is a tzunma, and that's why it's no difficulty according to Rava. The Gemara attempts another proof, not like Rava, from the Mishnah of Chaf Heyam Beis. The Mishnah says, Marchikin es ilam min habar. Person has to distance his tree from the pit, esem b'chamish amah, 25 amas from that guy's pit. So ask the Gemara, time of the kibar. Sounds like only because that neighbor has a pit. Halekibar samach, but if there is no pit right now, then you could do it near, which is not like Rava, who said you're not allowed to do it even if it's not there, because then at one point that he might. Says the Gemara, lai no, ki lekibar nami le samach. Truth is, even if he doesn't have a pit right now, you're not allowed to do it within 25 amas. And this is what the Mishnah is teaching us, the ad chafei ama azli sharashim amaskil bar, like we were mentioning before, that this is the measurement that the roots go and spread out and will damage the walls of a pit up until 25 amas. That's why he mentions it. But really the halacha would actually be even without the pit there. Now the Gemara says, ihachi masefa. But then if that's the case, look at the end of that Mishnah. The Mishnah says, vim ilan kadam, but that's only if the guy had a pit and then the guy planted a tree, which we're saying according to Rava, even if the pit wasn't there, you're still not allowed to plant a tree. But the Mishnah says, Vim Ilan Kadim, but if the tree was first, and then the guy made his pit, and now his pit's going to get harmed because the roots are going to go and damage it, says the Mishnah, Lo Yalkitz, then you don't have to cut down the tree. That has to come up, but why? If it's true, the halach is like Rava, that you're never allowed to make your tree near the other person's property, even if there's no pit there. So how exactly do you have a case where the tree comes first? As Rashi explains, if you're going to tell me that, oh, the way the tree came first is that he did it unlawfully, because you're right, according to Rava, even if the tree's first, you're not allowed to do it, then why would the halacha of the Mishnah be that you don't have to cut down the tree? What's the difference if the pit is there first, then you say you cut down the tree? And what's the difference if the tree comes first, that you say you don't cut it down? But why? It's the same shaloi kadas. It's still the same inappropriate that you planted the tree. So either way, you should have to cut down the tree. So that thing of our answer is k'damar Rav Papa. Like Rav Papa said, as we'll quote him for a different question on Amud Beis, that he says it's toma b'lekeach with a purchaser Hachanami b'lekeach, here also the halacha would be when someone purchases. What does that mean? It means to say if a person planted a tree in his field, like a regular guy is allowed to plant a tree in his field, then he subdivided his property and sold half of his field to another person. Now, the lekeach who bought that other half of the property now and comes and digs a pit, now the one who had originally has the guy who had the original property who had planted a tree over there, now that's the halacha of the Mishnah. He doesn't have to cut down his tree because he planted permissibly. How do you plant permissibly? It's within 25 amas because it was all my property. No one owned their property. Then they subdivided and then sold the other half. Now the tree is within 25 amas of where this guy dug a pit. So if he dug the pit first, then still you're not allowed to plant the tree. And you would have to cut down the tree. But if the tree is already planted and then it was sold the other half, and then the guy makes a pit, then he doesn't have to cut down the tree. Tashana, the Gemara continues trying to bring a proof, Nalik Rava, from a Mishnah of Chafeim and Alf, which this is what's known as the Sugya of Chardel, because it relates to the mustard seed. Says the Mishnah, Marchikin es ha-mishra. A person has to distance the water which is used to soak flax. That's could be detrimental to what? You have to distance it from min hayerek, from the vegetables, from different types of food like cabbage and garlic and leek. So do vesakrisha min habetzal, and you have to distance, if you have leek, if the other guy has onions, you have to distance it from his onions, which it could be harmful to the onions. And vesachardel min advayim, and you have to distance, if you have mustard seed, if that guy has bees, you have to distance your mustard seed from that guy's bees. And the reason for that is because the bees are going to eat the mustard seed, which is very strong, and it's going to be very sharp in their mouth. And because they're going to have the sharp taste, they're going to eat up their honey, which is going to be detrimental for the owner of the bees, who has the bees to have the honey. And it's going to make them consume their honey, so you have to distance your mustard seeds from his bees. Ask the Gemara. Time of the Ikiyarek. It sounds like the halacha is that when you have this mishra, where you have this pool where you soak flax, that you have to distance it because there are vegetables in the other guy's field. Sounds like a leki yarek samach, but if there are no vegetables there right now, then you could have it there, which is not like a rabbi who says, even if it's not there right now, you would still have to distance it. Says the Gemara, no, ki leki yarek namile samach. Truth is, even if it doesn't have vegetables there right now, you would not be allowed to put it close to the boundary. What's the Mishnah teaching us? Tahani kasha dadi. Again, as we've been saying the logic all along to answer for Rava, it's just saying that to say that it's harmful to know the reasoning of halacha so that it has application to know what's cause and effect. That this is harmful for that. But the halacha would be even if there's no vegetables there right now. That the Gemara asks, Ihachi eim esefa. But then if that's the case, then look at the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yosi matar b'chardel, one of the cases Rabbi Yosi disagrees on. Regarding the case of the mustard seed, he says, no, even if the guy has bees, he's allowed to have his mustard seed right next to the bees. Why? And they shayach aloimele, says Rabbi Yosi, because the owner of the mustard seed could tell the owner of the bees, Acha ato oimele, until you're telling me, Harchi kardelcha min devarai, that you're telling me that I should distance my mustard seed from your bees, because you're telling me that I'm the damager, and the damager has to stay away from the one who's the victim. Huh. I could tell you the same thing. Harchik, you distance devarcha, your bees, min chardulai, from my mustard, because you're also the damager. Why? Shabbayis v'aychlis l'glugi chardulai, because your bees are causing me damage, because they're eating the flowers of my mustard plant. That's what Rabbi Yosi disagrees, and he says, what do you mean? My responsibility? Your responsibility. I'm not the damager. You're the damager. So therefore, says Rabbi Yosi, he could be at the edge, just like he's at the edge, because I'm not the mazik, you're the mazik. Why are you the mazik? Because they're going to eat up my flowers. So fine, I'm going to damage you because they're going to eat my things and then they're going to eat up their honey. Fine, but you're a mazik too, and therefore it's not my responsibility. Although it's on the mazik, but you're also a mazik, so I'm not more responsible than you. As we continue to Medbeis, ask the Gemara, V'idolei samach, now if we hold like Rava, that a person cannot put his damager near the boundary of his friend, as Rava said, even if the damaging element is not even there right now, and moreover, we see from Rabbi Yosi's logic that he considers both the bees and the mustard as damagers, because each one would damage the other one, so then the question then becomes, Heichem ishkachasla, then how could you even have the case conceptualize where one of them would have one of the elements there first, but the other one could stop him? Because Rava holds you're never allowed to put a damager near the other person's property. Now, you can't have the case then in the first place. Because if, as we're explaining from Rabbi Yosi, that both of them are damagers, then neither one could have been there in the first place. So how does the case even start? So that Amar Papa, as we mentioned him before, b'lekeach. Meaning, after that this guy who owned, it was only a single property that he had put into this soaking pool of flax in this property, or let's say that he had already planted over there mustard seed, then he sold and subdivided the other half of his field to someone else. Now, the purchaser now is planting vegetables over there. Or regarding the other case that he's putting in bees, that's where the case could come up, where the one who did it there first had the permission to do it. And therefore, although he's a damager to the other person, that's where the case is conceptualized, that you could have something in place over there where now the other person is putting there and he's saying, hey, you're damaging me. Get, you know, that's where the case could start, that you could have something in place over there, although it's an automatic damager because it was done in a permissible way. Now, on this interpretation, the Gemara asks, if it's talking about the way you just described the case, that this guy had put in his mishra or he had put in his mustard seed first, as some have the girsa that, so then ki ike yerek, so then when there are vegetables, amai marchik, so then why do we say that he has to distance it? But as we're describing the case, he did it permissibly, so then my time of rabbanon. So what's the reason of the pinya de rabbanon? Why do they say that, yes, the one who made the mishra has to distance it? But why? You just described that the case of the mishra is that the guy had his own property. He put in a pool of flax. He allowed to do that. Then he subdivided. Now the other guy's making yerek. So though this guy's mishra is harming this guy's yerek, but why did he do? He didn't do anything wrong. He planted it permissibly. So why are you saying that according to Rabbanan, he has to distance his mishra? Now, moreover, the question is difficult. Is my time is Rabbi Yasi. Then why would be the reason of Rabbi Yasi? That he's quoted as only disagreeing and disputing in the case of the mustard seed. Now, the reason that he said was because they're both damagers. He said that, you want me to distance my mustard seed because it's going to harm your bees? Distance your bees, they're harming my mustard seed. So the question is, but why? Why is he only disagreeing in that case? But afila mishra v'yarkanami, the way we just described it, he should disagree regarding the flax pool and regarding the vegetables. If you're saying it's talking about a case of likach, he should also agree that in that case, as we're asking on the Rabbanon, that he should not have to distance his mishra pool, because although it's harming your yerek, but I did it permissibly. So it's the same question on the Rabbanon. It's also difficult. According to Rabbi Yasi, why is he only saying it in Chargal, his halacha should be in all the other cases too. So Amar Avinah, he says, Kasavi Rabbanon, Rabbanon hold, ala mazik laharchik esatzmai. The responsibility, when there's going to be damage from one party to the next, is on the damager to distance himself. And what that means in this context, as Rashi explains, is even though he originally did it in a permissible way because it was his own property and then he just subdivided and sold it, but now that this guy's making yerek and this can be damaging, the Rabbanon hold to that extent that this guy now has to distance his mishra because it's going to be harming the other person. So that explains the Rabbanon why they hold, even by the case of Lekeach, that it's on the mazik to distance himself. Now, but the question then becomes, so that's the Rabbanon. Now that would infer that Rabbi Yasi would hold that the responsibility is on the victim to distance himself. And that's why he disagrees with Rabbanan regarding the case of Chardel, where I'm a damager, fine, so you go ahead and distance yourself. Now, but then the question is, but then if it's the responsibility of the victim, then even in the case of the pool and the vegetables, then the responsibility is on the victim of the Yarka to distance himself. So why does Rabbi Yasi then agree in those cases that the owner of the mishra of the flax pool has to distance it? So El Rav, the Gemara says, La'olam Rabbi Yasi nami ala mazik sfir. The truth is, Rabbi Yasi agrees to the Rabbanon that the responsibility is on the damager to distance himself. Now, v'hachi kamalu Rabbi Yasi Rabbanon, but this is what Rabbi Yasi was telling to the Rabbanon. Tenach mishra b'yarka, I agree to you in the case of the flax pool and of the vegetables. Dahani maski hani, v'hani loy maski hani. Where the flax pool is harmful to the elements of the vegetables, but vegetables don't ruin a flax pool. So there I agree with you that since the mazik has to distance himself from the nizik, even though we described the case, at least in the way the Gemara was saying with Lekeach, that he even did it permissibly, it doesn't make a difference. As Rashi explains, you still have to distance yourself, and Rabbi Yasi agrees to that. El Chardel, but Divine Board, Rabbi Yasi was disagreeing with regarding the mustard seed and the bees, Tavayu Maske Adodi, that Rabbi Yasi said, that I disagree with you. They're both damaging each other. So why? I don't have any more responsibility, especially if we're describing the case of Lekeach, where he did it permissibly. Now the new owner of the subdivided property saying, hey, but your stuff are ruining my bees. He says, hey, I did this permissibly. Now you're saying I'm the mazik? You're also the mazik. Distance yourself. Why should I have to distance myself? Now, whereas the Rabbanan, they disagree on that. They hold that devarim lechardul lemaskele. They don't hold that it's that both of them are damagers. They hold that the mustard seed harms the bees because the bees are going to eat it, and then they're going to have the sharp taste and they're going to eat up their honey, which is going to be damaging for the owner of the bees. But the bees do not harm the mustard seed owner. Why? Because ibe binaser, because if regarding the actual mustard seed itself, lemeshkachala, they're not going to be able to locate it. It's going to be covered. It's covered in a husk. And ibe tarfa, and if it's regarding the leaves of the mustard plant, hadur pari, it grows back, and therefore they don't hold that that's considered damager, and therefore the only one that's a master, according to Rabbanan, is the owner of the mustard seed plant, and therefore he has to distance himself. So that explains the machlekes, Rabbi Yisrael Rabbanan, according to the interpretation of Rava. That has the Gemara, but the way we're describing it right now is that v'sav Reb Yisi ala mazik l'harchik tzatzma, is that really true, the way you're explaining this halacha, that Reb Yisi agrees to Rabbanan that it's the damager who has to distance himself, and he only disagrees in the case of chardel and the dvarim because he holds that they're both damagers? But v'atznan, we learned in the Mishnah of Chafeim at Beis, the Reb Yisi Armi, he says, afa pi shabur kedemes l'ilon, even if the owner of the pit, he made the pit before the neighbor makes the tree, and then the guy makes his tree, which is going to be harmful to that guy's pit, says Reb Yisi, lo yakut, so you don't have to cut down the tree. Why? This guy could dig his pit in his property. This guy could plant a tree in his property. So you see clearly that although this guy is demazik, and he's harming the pit, the pit's not harming the tree, still we say he's allowed to go ahead and plant in his property. So we see that it's ala nizik l'harchik hazatzmi, not the mazik. So that, but that's not the way we just described to resolve the machlekes Reb Yisi Rabbanan according to where it's saying for Rava. El Oilam, Rav, the Gemara says, no, it's like we answered, just slightly different. You write Reb Yisi ala nizik strili. Reb Yisi holds that the onus of the responsibility is on the victim, and that's why in that Mishnah of Chafei he holds that even if the guy made the tree second, he doesn't have to cut it down. But the machlekes that we just quoted before, the Reb Yisi was responding according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. And then he was telling them as follows. I hold the victim's responsibility is to take himself away from the damage. And therefore, if I disagree, even in the case of the flax pool and the vegetables, that actually the owner of the flax pool does not have to distance himself, although it's causing harm to the vegetables. Fine, the victim, it's his responsibility to move himself away from the mazik. But what Reb Yisi was saying, why did he only dispute in the case of chardel and devarim? Because he was saying, el didchu. He was going, but even according to your opinion, zam mitu ala mazik, that you say it's the mazik's responsibility to distance himself. But tenech mishabayarka, that Reb Yisi says, so that I could understand by the flagpole and the vegetables, the hani maski hani, where it's only the flagpole that's harming the vegetables, but vahani la maski hani. But the vegetables are not harming the flagpole. So good, so that it's clear that they're the mazik and they have to distance themselves according to your opinion. El chardel v'devorim, regarding the mustard seed and the bees, tarvai maskei adodi, says the bees, they're both damaging. Why are you making him move away? Make him move away. And therefore he says that he doesn't have to move away. On that Rabbanan, they said that no, devorim l'chardel emaskele. It's not true. The bees do not harm the mustard seed, the mustard plant. Because ibi benasa, because if regarding the mustard seed itself, as we get in the top of your testament of loy meshkachasle, the bees will not be able to locate it because it's concealed in the husk. And ibe tarfa, and if regarding that it's going to eat up the leaves of the mustard plant, hadupari, it's going to go back and sprout back and grow back, and if that's not considered mazik, and that's why the Rabban held that it's only on the balachartel to distance himself, not on the bal hadvayrim. And if again that resolves the question that was on Rava, the question that we had asked from this halacha, it sounded like these halachas only applied when these elements were there. And that we said that no, it's even if it's not there. So then we asked, so then how do we understand the halacha of where Bisi says that you're going to have the chardel and the dvarim? How could either one, if they're both a mazik, have been in the first place where Rabbah doesn't let anyone be there first? So he said that's talking about by lekeach, where as we described, that was allowed to be there first and then they subdivided. But then we said then what's to be the understanding of the Rabbanan and even Bisi in the other cases, he did it permissibly. And that the Gemara says, even if he did it permissibly, the onus is still on the mazik, even if it was a case of lekuach, that it was bought afterwards. So on that the Gemara describes, so then what is the machlekes between Reb Yisi and Rabbanan? Because really Reb Yisi actually holds ala nizik l'harchik hazatzmi, he disagrees in all cases. But he was saying, even according to your opinion Rabbanan, in the case of chardel and devarim, I disagree, even though you say ala mazik l'harchik hazatzmi, they're both mazikim, and if they're both mazikim, there's no more responsibility and onus on the owner of the mustard seed than of the owner of the bees, because they're both damaging. And therefore he said, in that case, I would say, even according to your opinion, they shouldn't have to distance themselves from each other. Now, again, as we mentioned before, this is a big machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, how to explain the conclusion of the sugya regarding how to interpret for this machlekes Abaye and Rava in this machlekes Reb Yisi Rabbanan these opinions about what whose responsibility is it what in regards to the distancing, the mazik, from the damage of the nizik.